Thank you, Q. Yeah, wasn't it General Naaman that was told, go clean yourself in the Jordan? And he went, oh, should I have to? There's like 1,000 better rivers in my hometown. Yeah, today we're heading towards Baptism Sunday, right? And we want to build a little bit of a sense of anticipation. I know I'm certainly feeling a positive sense of anticipation. Something good is going to come. And we're looking a little bit and thinking a little bit more about why. Why baptism? Why is it that we do it the way we do it? What does it mean for us? Let me pray and then I'll jump into it. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for the way we can read your word and have it open our hearts and our minds to your message, your meaning, and how it is we should better follow you in our walk of faith. Lord, I just pray now, as we come before your word, you might open our hearts and speak powerfully to us what you would have of us as your people and how we may be made better in the image of your son. Just thank you for this. Pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Baptism has been around in all sorts of forms for a long time. There was a story in the 14th century. King Angus was getting baptized by St. Patrick. The priest accidentally lent his sharp-tipped ritual staff on the foot of the king in the process, stabbing right into it. Afterwards, he saw the puddle of blood on the floor and realized what he'd done. He begged the king for forgiveness. And he said, why don't you say something? And the king said, oh, I thought that was just part of the baptism. So if anyone's worried, there'll be no ritual stabbings as part of the baptism on Baptism Sunday. You don't need to worry. But my other favorite form of baptism, guys, I think you may have seen this before. If you haven't, hey, oh, hey, ha. Now, I did consider this, but I thought I would definitely throw my back out trying to give that a go. So I don't know. I like this one. It's a bit more of the same. And this baby just was not ready for this for obvious reasons. I think that's fair. And then, hands in back. And then mum comes in and is like, are you okay? What was that? Good question. What was that? I don't know. Right, but baptism is a thing that's been around a long, long time, yeah? It's been practiced throughout the church for literal centuries. And today we are looking at the first ever Christian baptism. So Jesus was the beginning of something new when it came to people being baptized. John, he had been doing his thing. He had been baptizing people in the Jordan. But when Jesus comes along, something new happens. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, turning people back to God. He was kind of reappropriating the Jewish cleansing rituals. They would have these cleansing rituals when they were coming towards holy times of their calendar. And he kind of reappropriates that to being like, cleanse yourself, return yourself back to God because the Messiah is coming. God's special chosen one is coming. But with Jesus, we have something new. We have this turning of the ritual of baptism being a reappropriation of the Old Testament cleaning rituals to being this new baptism in the Spirit that all of the apostles will continue on after Jesus' death and resurrection. So let's jump into the passage, into the story a bit more. John's ministry is fully underway. So he is out in the wilderness. He is proclaiming, repent, prepare the way, turn back to God. People are listening to what he's doing. It's actually a big buzz, the fact that John has arrived and starts doing this. There had been 400-500 years of prophetic silence. So there hadn't been a big prophet in Israel for centuries and centuries, and John marked something new and fresh, and the people were hungry to hear what he had to do. So they're going out in their droves to see him out in the middle of wherever he is. So popular did he become that even the powers that be, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees, even the kind of the rich and the educated and whatever, they come out too to hear what's going on and to see him. And when they arrive, John says, get out of here, you brood of vipers. Who told you? You know, he's making friends everywhere he turns, John. He really was setting himself up for a difficult run. But just after he tells the Pharisees and the Sadducees, get out of here, you brood of vipers, who told you to come and, you know, blah, 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 and sends them on their way. In the story of Matthew, Jesus comes to John and asks to be baptized. When Jesus comes to John and asks to be baptized, verse 14, it reads, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. John's response leads us to understand a few things, right? John clearly recognizes there is something special in Jesus. He clearly recognizes that there is something very special in Jesus. But at this point, I don't think he fully understands who Jesus is, because later in Matthew 11, when John is in prison, he sends his disciples to go to Jesus to ask them, are you the Messiah? Right? He doesn't actually know. And Jesus says to them, go back and tell him what you see. The lame walking, the blind have sight. Demons cast out, and then you'll know. And that's what they do. So at this point earlier in the story, John clearly recognizes that Jesus is perhaps a prophet of himself in the same line as he's a man of God. He is something special, something important, but he doesn't fully understand who Jesus is and what's going on. So Jesus comes to John and says, can I be baptized? And John's like, no, no, why? Why would you be baptized? This baptism is about repenting and turning back to God. You don't need to repent and turn back to God. You don't need to, you know, you're a man of God. You're a prophet of God. You're a holy one of God. You don't need this baptism thing. If anything, I should be confessing my sinfulness to you and you should be baptizing me. It shouldn't be the other way around. But Jesus says to him, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this in fulfillment of all righteousness. He says, let's do this now. This is an important thing for us to do. John then does as he's told. Jesus is baptized. The story tells us the heavens open. The Spirit of God descends like a dove. A voice from heaven says, this is my son with whom I am, with whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. And there's the baptism of Jesus. Five little verses, but so much is in there. Like so much important stuff happens in these five little verses. The first question, which I think is a good one to ask, is why does Jesus get baptized at all? And that's the question John asks. He's like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you coming here to be baptized? What's the point? This is about turning people back to God, back on the right path, back to listening to the things that you're teaching. What, you know, you don't need to worry about this. And yet Jesus does, because it's important. So there's something happening for us here that is important for us to take note of. He says it's important for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness, the NLT translate it. It should be done for we must carry out all that God requires. This is something that God wants of him, wants of me, being Jesus, to do in the commencement of his ministry. He doesn't do it for repentance per se, but he does it for other reasons. So I'm going to kind of define two in particular and talk about them here. Firstly, why does he get baptized? Because baptism is a public statement. For Jesus, this was an important public statement that he was no longer son of Joseph, carpenter of Nazareth. He's laying down that old self, that old persona, and he is now Jesus, man of God, prophet, Messiah, and Christ. This moment is this public declaration that that old life is laid down and that now a new life has started. It marks this new era for Jesus. The carpentry tools are put away, sold, given away to anyone who wants them, because he's picked up this new role, prophet, Messiah, and Christ. For Jesus, his baptism is death to the old self and a rebirth of this new self. His old life has ended, his new life, his new work, his new ministry has begun. All those that are gathered that day see this public statement, this public pronouncement that this is now so. Jesus has entered into this new phase of his life. We see that this new era of his life is anointed by God, because you see the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. You hear the voice of God saying, "This is my son whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." You know, for those who are into the systematic theology, this is a great little verse. You have son, you have spirit, you have father, all in the same place, all interacting with each other, one yet independent. So, you know, all those who are into that sort of high-level stuff, this is a great verse to see. But you see this public pronouncement of Jesus's ministry through his baptism. And in following in the footsteps of Christ, we too make a public pronouncement that we too believe Jesus Christ is Lord, that we follow in the same footsteps as him, in the way that he laid down his old self to take up something new. In baptism, so we lay down the old self that we may take up something new. This public profession of what we believe. Secondly, baptism is about connection. It's about connectedness. It's not just about the individual. We kind of often think of it a bit like that, don't we? We think of it as about the individual makes the statement, they make the promises, they make the claims, and then it's about that individual. But it's more than just being about the individual, because in baptism, we are being baptized into something greater than ourselves. We are being baptized into something bigger, something greater than ourselves. Paul writes in Galatians 3, verse 26, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus." As Paul sees it, in baptism, we are baptized into Christ and into this oneness that comes with being a believer of Christ, into the family of God, where Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male, female, all are one in Christ. And baptism is part, important step, of us becoming part of this family. A family that reaches back thousands of years into the past, that in baptism we follow in his footsteps, baptized into his family, that we may be true brothers and sisters of Christ together. Jesus kind of goes ahead of us in his practice of baptism so that we may be more connected with him and we can be more connected to each other. You've heard of the service hire a hubby. You know, you hire a hubby and they come and they kind of do the odd jobs around the house and all that kind of stuff. Well, I heard a woman once talking about how she was going to start a service called Hire a Family. And what she was going to do is send over her teenagers and they would like eat all your food, mess up the bathroom, leave dirty clothes everywhere, and then ask you for all your money. Like, now that is the authentic family experience, isn't it, of having family? And baptism is this tangible sign that we are now connected into the family of God, with all of the messiness, warts and all, with all of the great blessings that come from it, and I truly believe that, as well as all of the complications and difficulties and messiness that comes with it. And being connected with the family of God, there is a beauty that really brings enrichment to our lives. I was the eldest of my siblings, and I really wished I had an older brother or sister. Like, I really like jealous of my friends that were younger. They hated their older brothers and sisters because they beat them up and whatever, right? But I was so jealous I never had an older brother or sister. But when I really sewed myself into the church, I was like, I've got a bunch of older brothers and sisters. And for me, that was really real. Like there was really guys a few years older than me that I would go to and ask questions and talk to like they were my older brothers, and they would treat me like they were their younger brother. And that was this really powerful, tangible thing that this church thing, it's not just, you know, saying nice things and reading from a page and whatever. It's real. So in baptism, are we really sowing ourselves into the family of God? Aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, parents, older brothers, older sisters. I often think of myself for the young adults as kind of like the quirky older uncle. You know, there's that older uncle that comes to the family and you're like family dinners and he's like, oh, he just causes trouble. That's kind of my, felt like that was my calling. It used to be the older quirky brother, but now I think I'm a bit too, that's, yeah, the math doesn't quite work on that one. But what Jesus does when he is baptized, what he's saying too, he's saying, I want you all to be baptized into this thing that I'm doing now, that you might walk in the same footsteps as me, that you might be connected in one body and mind with me. Part of the reason we do baptism is so that we might find ourselves connected more and more as the children of God. So let me wrap up here. My question to everyone here is this. Do you want to have this opportunity to publicly profess what you believe, to symbolically lay down the old self, to pick up something new, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus? Perhaps you've never done that before. I really want to encourage you to take this step. Perhaps you did it and it was just such a long time ago. You'd like to reaffirm it. Like to reaffirm that time, reaffirm those promises, reaffirm that connection. I really want to encourage you to think about that and take that step. We're going to think about this a little bit more next week, and then we're at Baptism Sunday. Simon is here. He's going to lead us in communion. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to step into one of the other great sacraments that the Lord gives us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity that we get to come before your word and, Lord, to share in a sacrament that you have given us, to walk in your footsteps, to serve as you have served, to live and to love as you have loved, to be called into a family that stretches back millennia. Lord, I just thank you for this. I just pray, Lord, that you might put on our hearts just a little bit of a motivation to want to take that public step, Lord. And for those of us who have taken that step before, Lord, I pray that those promises might be renewed in our own hearts, that they might become afresh again in our lives, that we might live out those baptismal statements, those baptismal promises in our day by day, in our walk, in all the places that you put us, Lord. So we just thank you for this. We thank you for the freedom that we have to come before your word like this. Pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Simon.